If you would please join me in the book of Isaiah. We'll step away from John's writings for today, being the first Sunday of Lent. We have communion before us, and so it is an incredible time that we in the fellowship of the church have to enjoy a meal together such as this. And so we began this Lenten season looking toward that cross, looking toward that Easter occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us and then also was raised from that old cold grave so that we might have eternity with him. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" I said, "Here am I. Send me." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. A familiar passage, however, it's been a good many years since I've spoken to this or from this passage, so I thought it would be good to bring it to you once more. The prophet Isaiah is one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. You have your minor prophets, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Amos, just to name a few. But here we have Isaiah, along with Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Daniel. We refer to them as the major prophets. Now, please realize this is not a class type statement. It just simply means the volume of work. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel wrote so much more than the minor prophets. And here God gives Isaiah a message and a call on his life. He calls him to preach. But to preach not a very pleasant message. He calls him to preach the punishments of God to the nation of Israel. And he did this before their fall into the hands of the Assyrians, which came down and overwhelmed them and punished them because of their disobedience. The people of north of Israel were used to bring judgment against the people of God. Also, chapter 6 is the commissioning of Isaiah, one of the great passages in the entire Bible, when he says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for me?'" Every missionary has read over those words. Every pastor, I'm sure, has read over those words at some point in time, probably very early in their ministry. Because to hear the call of God to go is an overwhelming thing to hear. I remember his calling of me. Standing on the football field in Knoxville, Tennessee, at a Promise Keepers meeting, and it raining harder than I have ever seen before. But when that call came, it's overwhelming. Each of you have been called, not to the pastorate, possibly not to the mission field, but called to be children of God. And so here, as God calls Isaiah, who will go for us? Who shall I send? Everyone in this room should jump up immediately and say, here I am, send me. To wherever that might be. To leading your home? To go to Belize? I wish. To go to the mission field in other places? Taryn told me the other day that little Logan wants to grow up to be a preacher. He said, but there's one problem. There's too many big words in the Bible. God will take care of that if that's his call. But back here to Isaiah. Isaiah was taken up in the Spirit and was given a vision to see the Lord God Almighty. The train of his robe, imagine just a train of his robe filling every square inch of the temple, every square inch of this room. God's majesty and his majestic nature filling everything. And Isaiah heard the angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Again, just as we mentioned last week, this name, this title for God, Lord of hosts, is a military term. And so Isaiah saw God as this military lead of angels overwhelming the enemy. At the sound of the seraphim's rejoicing, the foundation shook. Do you think you could stand such a sight? Do you think you could bear such a sight? Hear the voice of God and see the room and the walls just shaking with his presence. I would like that. Well, we do. He's here this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the beginning of his vision of the highly exalted God, and he sees that God alone is holy, high, and lifted up. For Hebrew, being holy was not just a title. It was their very essence. They knew that they were the people of God, and his holiness rained down over them, and they knew that in their being, they were a different people. Well, today that holds true for you. God's holiness rains down over you with the presence of the Holy Spirit as you received him in your salvation. So as we talk about the holiness of God, think of it also in yourself, because we are the holy ones, a holy priesthood, as Peter calls us, meaning that we are set apart, called to be different than the world. The holiness of God was an expression of his just and righteous character. It was not just a name. It was, it is who he is. And the laws that were given, that we discussed Wednesday evening, that we discussed many times, the Ten Commandments, they reveal his very holiness, his nature and his character. So what was Isaiah's reaction? I could ask you, what would be your reaction to see and to feel the presence of God fill this room as smoke would blare out from his nostrils and you see the power and the majesty of God? What would be your reaction? Verse 5. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. John Calvin says in many different ways, To know God is to know yourself, and to know yourself is to know God. Because when we look on the majesty of God, we see our sinfulness. Isaiah came to a stark realization of the holy and righteous God and immediately came to know himself to be totally and completely sinful. I can imagine that he fell face down. Face down. And then honestly, truthfully, probably crying out, "Woe is me, for I am lost." What will be your reaction? What will be my reaction when I see Jesus for the first time? What will be our reaction? Cindy and I were talking, headed to Sunday school, of that song that's, I think, about 12 years old now. I can only imagine. What will I do? Will I sing? Probably not. Will I dance? Eventually. But just the overwhelming presence. Woe is me. Will I try to hide? As we spoke of Wednesday evening, when we come to realize the holy, majestic God, we also realize how lowly we are. And we must confess, just as Isaiah did, that I am a man of unclean lips, living amidst of people of unclean lips. Our senior high folks just walked in. Welcome. Here's a man, Isaiah, who in an instant realized who he was. In light of the Lord of hosts, Isaiah became totally aware of his defiled nature and his sinfulness and his inability to stand before a holy and righteous God. Just as Moses hid his face when he heard God's voice, Isaiah cries out, "I am lost," because rightfully he was afraid. Again, how would you respond? Let me ask another question. Have you become aware of God in this way? Can you testify that you have felt the presence of God in such a way that you feel almost totally, if not totally, overwhelmed? I pray you have. I pray you have. I am lost. But God did not leave Isaiah there. God did not leave Isaiah there in his lost state of mind. Verses 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." Isaiah's spiritual filth had been taken away. The seraph touched the mouth of the prophet and he was cleansed. God had made provisions for the atonement of the sins of Isaiah. God had just purchased Isaiah. Isaiah now belongs to God. The sins have been paid for. He is totally redeemed, even in his frailty. But here we see that God calls a people, calls a person, and then purchases that person to belong to God. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Savior, you and Isaiah have that in common. The angel, as it were, has touched your lips with a redeeming fire of the Holy Spirit. And you now are not your own. You belong to God. You belong to Jesus. And therefore, no longer should we say, I am lost, because I'm not. I've been found. You have been found. You now are of God. Of God means in your essence, in your being. You are of God. And in this new state of being, God didn't stop there. He said, whom shall I send? Now, poor Isaiah, bless his heart, here he is called to be the minister, the prophet of God. Then he is given a message of judgment. He didn't get to preach the glory and the wonder of the loving Jesus Christ. He had to preach to a nation that had been disobedient, stiff-necked. Those of you who read the King James, stiff-necked. And so God is saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And see, not giving any thought to where or what or how, Isaiah simply yelled out, send me. Send me, here I am, send me. And with that, Isaiah was called into service. Who will go? Whom shall I send? Would you go? Some of us might think we're a little too far along in our years to be called to the mission field. We might be just a little bit too comfortable in our home place right now to be called to the pastorate. As David said many times, there's not a retirement program in the Bible. It does infer a little bit over in Leviticus, but no. And quite honestly, you don't have to go to the mission field. You don't have to step behind the pulpit, but you can be sent into your own home, into your workplace, into your family, and be that prophet, sharing, testifying to the love of God. As a Christian, you have been purchased. And there is a call. There is a call into the service of God. And it comes in many, many different forms and fashions. How many folks we got here today? 70-ish? 70 different calls. But are we as quickly obedient to that call as Isaiah was? Here I am. Send me. And that call goes out to those whom Jesus Christ has died for. And today, as we come to this table, represents the work of the Savior who, in his work, Jesus redeemed Isaiah. Isaiah was saved on the promises of the Messiah. You and I were saved based on the work of the Messiah. Our Lord's work on the cross, that crown of thorns that caught Link's attention, was for you. You have been purchased. You have been purchased. Just as Isaiah cried out, I am a man of unclean lips, I am ruined, so should we as well. But we do that with a great assurance, knowing that the salvation of Jesus Christ is ours. Yeah, I may fall on my face before Jesus Christ when I see him that day, but I know also I'll grab him and hug him, or he me. Oh, would that day be today. Gentlemen, come and let's share this table with God's people.